turn to the book of Daniel. We're on chapter 1. We'll be here in this book for several weeks. And last week I began that Old Testament account of Daniel being carried off to Babylon in about 606 BC. He was held captive by the Babylonians, and not only him, but thousands of people were carried off to Babylon. He served as an administrative leader for 70 years in Babylon. When he went there, it was a whole new culture. It was a new language. It was new literature. They were going to try to change him completely. He got a new education. He changed their names. He wasn't Belshazzar anymore. He was Daniel. He was 15 years old when he was captive. He was a guy that was forced to live in the circumstances of the world. He was forced to live there, but the key thing we learned last week was that the world was not in him. He was in the world, but the world was not in him. In his heart, he did right, and he knew to do right. And he was true to the God of Abraham. I've asked if my friend won't read Daniel 1, verses 8 through 21. Come on up, sir. Thomas is a good guy.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young man who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus.
Thank you, sir. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. The key verse, one that we will look at as the key, is verse 8. Let me find it. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself. Now, Daniel purposed in his mind that he would not defile himself, and that word defile to the Jewish folks would be mean to make unclean, impure, polluted, contaminated. You remember a few weeks ago I told you about my friend Mike, and Mike was over at the dam watching them build the bridge. That's his joy in retirement. He sits there in his pickup truck and watches them build the bridge, but everybody's got a different boat to float. And anyway, there he is watching them, and the Jewish guy comes in with his wife and kids and takes the two little kids out in the, this is before Easter, it's Good Friday, takes the kids out in the middle of the creek, sits down in the water with these kids, 5 and 9, and immerses them each 7 times. Mike thought he was going to drown his children, but he kept bringing them back up. It was okay. And he saw that. Who does that in Brookville? So he told me about it, and I said, I looked it up. It's called a mikvah. They have to do that, cleanse their kids before Passover. So who could ever think that he'd see it again? The next part month was a month in between. Up pulls this black car again. Out comes the guy with the big curls and a black hat and 2 different kids, but it's not the same dad, but there's a mom there. He does the same thing. He said, Ray, they came back. What do you think of that? I said, I don't have no idea, but they're stuck on the law. They're stuck on the law, and some way they pass word along, stop in Brookville and duck your kids under the water there. We're gonna have to get this on film, we will. We'll blot out their faces, but we'll put it up here. We'll see that. I'm gonna go out there and sit and watch the bridge being built. So Daniel did not want to eat this food. Remember, this kid is only 15 years old. And he wanted to stay pure and true to the word in a spiritual sense. If you want to look at the food laws, you look into Leviticus chapter 11 and Deuteronomy 14. I'm going to read some of that later. But here were those Jews, those Hebrew boys, there in Babylon. They wanted not at all to be assimilated into the culture. I don't want to be like them, but I want to live, and I can live in this world, live in that world, and not be like them. That's just our situation. We have to live here, but we can decide not to live like the world. We can, in our hearts, be set apart. Now, these three guys, good guys, they were set apart to do 3 years of instruction, like at Clarion University. Go up there for 3 years. And you graduate. Do you graduate in 3 years? If you're lucky, maybe 5. Yeah, it could be 5. And so they go through the whole plan. They go through bowing down to idol 101. And he goes right through, and they pass everything. And these four guys were at the top of their class. And remember, their names were changed. One was Daniel. Who were the rest? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three good men who weren't going to bow to the idol. We'll get to that next week. And verse 20 says that they were 10 times better than all the others in matters of knowledge, of wisdom, and understanding. Now, there's a spiritual truth here. If you get anything out of it, pay close attention to this spiritual truth. When you stand strong in the Lord, when you know you are right in the Lord, and when you follow the Lord in His direction and live a life of honor to God, God will use you. Number one, God will use you. Number two, God will take care of you. I'm telling you, this is a promise to us from the Word. God will use you, God will take care of you, and God will bless you. Amen?
Amen.
It's great to be a Christian.
Amen.
It's wonderful to be a Christian.
Amen.
These four guys were faithful, and they lived solid lives for God. They were committed to God, and God took care of them, and God blessed them. You know a lot of the stories in the book of Daniel. You know the fiery furnace story and all that. And they were so faithful. God was with them in that furnace. Remember that. Three went in, but there were four in there. Isn't that a good thought? Four people, God was with them. David in Psalm 18 says this, "The Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness." He's paid me back for my righteousness, my right doing. "According to the cleanness of my hands in His sight, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks." I will confess that I got taken yesterday. I just wanted to buy one of those licorices that supposedly tasted like root beer barrels. How much is that piece of licorice? $6. Who said, "Oh my"? Pat, don't criticize me. So then the lady said, "But if you buy two, we'll sell it to you for $5. And if you get four, you can get them for $15. I want a bargain. So I picked out four of them, $15. Thought this would be good. Judy will love what I don't eat. Gave one to Amy. She kept the root beer one. I brought the other three home, and I think they're going to sit on that counter. That person was shrewd. We always like a bargain. But David says, if we're merciful, if we lead a merciful life, God will show mercy to us. If we lead a blameless life, God is going to count us blameless. If we lead a pure life, God will call us pure. Here were four good kids. They were pure, they were humble, and look at what God gave them for that in verse 9. God caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. they got compassion. Daniel and his buddies, the official liked these guys. They were good kids. They were pure and they were humble. They probably brought donuts to Ashpenaz. And he was on their side. Now, I don't know what diet they were on. It could be they were on keto. Anybody here on keto? Do you ever get with people and say, which diet are you on? Are you on keto? What are you laughing about, Renee? You hear them all, don't you? I'm on keto, I'm on the Mediterranean diet, and go through them all. And how many have tried a bunch of them? Holly? No. I just like that old thing that we call the seafood diet. If you see food, you eat it. That's the way it works. Daniel makes a request of this guy who's in charge of the whole three-year program. He says, I don't want to eat this food. So just let us eat our regular food that we eat all the time, and we'll see how we are in 10 days. In 10 days, they're snappy. They look something like me. They don't forget. Their voice doesn't falter, and they don't have to ask people to bring them water in the middle of anything. And Daniel says to the guy, put it to the test. See how this works. They didn't want to eat and drink because of the law that God gave to those Hebrews when they were coming through and came through to the promised land. Now, Deuteronomy 14, listen to this. We always talk about the law. And in Deuteronomy 14, it tells us about what these guys could eat. You are the children of God. You shall not cut yourselves. People actually, in our day and age, cut themselves because they have so much pain. They'll cut on their arms. They'll cut on their legs. They'll cut on their ankles, little cuts that kind of take the pain away from their brain to this spot. I can't figure it out, but they do it. But the Lord spoke about that to these folks. You shall not cut yourselves, oh boy, nor shave the front of your head. We see that all the time. We said last week, when the Assyrians took people out of the northern kingdom, they would put earrings in their noses and run a rope through their nose and drag them off that way. We see it. You're a holy people to the Lord, your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Now listen to this. You shall not eat. Remember, we always speak about the law and we hear about it. This is where you read about the food. You shall not eat any detestable thing. Of course not. Anybody here want to eat a detestable thing? Doesn't sound good. I'll give you the licorice. It's on our counter. So here's the things that they may eat. You can eat an oxen, a sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You can eat those things. They're clean. And you may eat every animal with cloven hooves, having the hoof split into two parts, and that chews the cud among the animals. Buy cows. You can have them. Now, here's the nevertheless. Nevertheless, of those that chew the cud or have cloven hooves, you shall not eat such as these. Can't eat these things. The camel. Where's Don? Oh, there he is. The camel. Can't eat the camel. The hare. The rock hyrax, whatever that is. For they chew the cud, but do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean for you. Also the swine is unclean for you, because it has cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat their flesh or touch their dead carcasses. These you may eat all of all that are in the waters. You may eat all that have fins. Remember, these are the laws. There were 680 laws that the Hebrews had to follow. And these are only the laws about food. There's laws about tithing. There's laws about marriage. There's all these laws that they had. And all they had to do, the rabbi every week was going to say, here's the laws you've got to keep. You shall not eat the eagle, the vulture, the buzzard. Oh, who's going to do that? The red kite, the falcon, the kite after their kinds, every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, the hawk after their kinds, the little owl, the screech owl, the white owl. Don't eat an owl, whatever you do. The jackdaw, the carrion vulture, the fisher owl, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe and the bat. Also, every creeping thing that flies is unclean for you. They shall not be eaten. You may eat all clean birds. You shall not eat anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the alien who is within your gates. Give it to the guys dropping by and give him all this terrible stuff. Don't worry about those people. That he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner, for you're a holy people to the Lord your God. And here's the final one. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Who would even think of that? But you can't. And so here are these four boys that they want to set a buffet out for them. Roast beef, shrimp, lobster, whatever it is, it's going to be set out before them. Just come into our culture. Be part of our culture. Forget about what happened there in the past. And Daniel says, let's put it to a test. None of it was kosher. And after 10 days, the result is found in 15 and 16. Here's the result. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Well, these guys weren't eating choice food. It's the rest of the people. We're going to take this food away from them. We're giving them vegetables. They're not going to eat meat. They're not going to eat shrimp. They're not going to eat that fish. They're not going to eat that's cooked in butter. They're going to eat the vegetables. They got to be a vegetarian. Next week, I want everyone to tell me they've turned to a vegetarian. I'll ask for hands to go up. We'll see how it works. The results of being pure and staying pure is that they got influence. They got favor in God's eyes because they were pure, they were true to God's word. David says in Psalm 51:2, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. I'm telling you, I want God's favor in my life. And I don't think any of us can say we don't want God's favor. There are different examples in the Bible of people that had God's favor. Look at Joseph. Genesis 39:2-4. Don't turn, I'll read it. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Remember what happened to him? Sold off into slavery, down to Egypt. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptians. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. Joseph was a man of integrity. He was a man of influence. And because he followed God and followed the word that he had, that he knew, he had great influence. In the book of Esther, she's another example of integrity. Esther 2:15. Now when the term came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter, to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her because she had integrity. She was right in her actions and her attitudes. With integrity comes influence. Jesus said, or it's said of Jesus, Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So these men gained influence because they were true to God. I'm saying to you, stay true to God and you'll see that things will work better for you. And you will be millionaires by next week. No, I can't promise that. But I can promise you that God will bless and God will influence your life and your actions as you're true to his word. I'm going to read verses 17 through 21 again. As for these four young men, God gave them, here's what God gave them. He gave them insight. God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. I wish someone would name their child Nebuchadnezzar. I'd like to go to the hospital and say, where is Nebuchadnezzar? I'd like to see that. Then the king interviewed them, and among them, all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were all in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. These four guys had insight. Being a Christian doesn't make us wealthy, doesn't make us smart, but it can give us insight. When I came, I won't go too far because I don't want to reveal any names. When I came to the church here in 1984, back in 84, to candidate, I was met at the door by someone. And they were very pleasant and nice. Showed me through the building and it was pretty good. And Judy was along, trailing along, and we left that evening, and she said, if we come back here, that person that showed you through the building is going to be your biggest burden. I said, what are you talking about? I just know. She had insight. Do any of you other people have that insight? Can you read people pretty quickly? I'll tell you what. I had to pray about those people a lot. God will give us influence, but he'll also give us insight. He'll make those spiritual gifts that are available, he'll make them strong in our lives. And we can understand and work with people very quickly because we have insight into their lives. At least I do. I can read your mind, Malia. Stop. Don't think about the chicken for lunch. No, no. You're a vegetarian now. God gives us insight into people, insight in our jobs, insight in situations that we never dreamed of before. We live in an information age. And God will give us the information that we need. 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, he who glorifies him, let him glory in the Lord. Every day, I say, when I get up and I head toward the kitchen with French fry on my heels, now in front of me, guiding me, stepping over his toys, putting the cushions, I can't figure this out. Every night before we go to bed, French fry goes to that TV room and he takes all the cushions off the couch, puts them on the floor and makes a fort and he hides under them. Some insight in that dog. So in the morning I come down, let French fry out, sit on the out on the deck. He goes up over the hill and I say, Lord, give me a sound mind. Give me a sound mind. Give me wisdom today as I deal with people. As I work with people, with family members whose family members are dying. Give me the right words to say. And you know, he does. I have not been beaten up yet. And it's worked. Now, next week, we're going to look at chapter 2. And Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And he calls in people. He calls in all the counselors to the king and asks for an interpretation of the dream. And then he says, because nobody can answer, we're going to kill all of you people. And guess who was one of the people to be killed? Daniel. And Daniel goes to him and he says, hey, give me a break here. Give me some time to think about this dream. I'll give you a little while. Otherwise, you're going to be up cut up in cubes. But you know, the first thing it tells us, and we'll see this next week, the first thing that Daniel did when he was going to be chopped up in little pieces, before that he prayed. A good example, We'll see what a great example that is. He prayed before he was killed, and he wasn't killed. Now, whenever you get a certain pain here or there, and you have a situation, you can Google it first thing. Type it in. I told Judy, my leg was bothering me, my hip was bothering me. I said, I think I broke my hip mowing that bank out there. And she just went, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I read that I Googled it. I should have just prayed about it, took care of it. And Daniel had a prayer meeting. Sometimes we use prayer as our last resort. Daniel says this, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom." Here you go, pray for wisdom. And pray for might. "And have now made known to me what we asked of you. Give me insight in what I should do. For you have made known to us the king's demands." They made it. They weren't cut up in little pieces. Be loyal and faithful to God. Gain his favor by worshiping him in truth, and you will have influence, you will have insight, and you will have a wonderful life knowing him. Amen?
Amen.
It's great to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing. Malia, let's sing our final song.